Welcome to Rise Above the Ashes podcast, where we break down the art of failure and learn why multiple failures equals true success if you just don't give up. In this podcast, we go deep with our guests to find out how they overcome some of the greatest obstacles in their lives and what makes them tick as a human being. Learn here how you can turn your failures into true success. Jenny Taylor, how are you doing?
I'm good, Brandon. How are you?
I am doing well. I am really, really glad you are here. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy life and all of your businesses to sit with me for a few minutes.
I appreciate you wanting me on here. I'm so excited to talk to your audience. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Jenny, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, or tell my audience a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind, JennyTaylorPhotography.com and so on. Let us know more about you.
So I'm from Chicago, the suburb. You guys can find me on JennyTaylor.com, and most of my businesses are listed on there. But most people know me. I've owned my photography studio in Chicago, Nashville, and Laguna Beach over the last 10 years, and we do boudoir photography. So it's Jenny Taylor Boudoir Photography, and I created that from nothing. I was a college dropout. I was a beauty school dropout. I was pretty much a big loser, I would call myself, about 20 years ago. Had no direction on what I wanted to do, and got into sales and always just loved photography since I was 8. And so about 10 years ago, I just decided, like, hey, I'm going to follow my dream. And everyone back then told me, you know, there's too many photographers. Oh, you won't make any money. Because I was making about $150,000 10 years ago at a corporation. And some fire was in my soul and just said, you need to do this now. Came up with this concept of, like, doing these sexy, like, Victoria's Secret type of shoots. Really, mainly, I was getting married back then for weddings. And what I did was I really took this concept. It's been around forever. It comes from France. It's like women's bedroom photos. And instead of me promoting this to a certain look of a female, I decided to offer this to every single woman in the world. And so now we really specialize in, like, offering this to the everyday woman, like the mom. You know, our average age right now is like 36 years old. So it's a little bit of a higher age than most people think. Mm-hmm. So I really changed the word boudoir into whatever a woman feels confident in wearing. So it doesn't have to be lingerie. And I think that's one of the reasons the company stayed in business for so long. And through these 10 years and my whole life, I have so many rising from the ashes stories. In fact, I'm going to be starting a podcast at the end of next year. I already have one out called Feel the Positive, but I'm starting another one called Rising from the Darkness, which is also going to be part of my new book. And I bought that website about a year and a half ago. And really, my goal is whenever I get in front of one person or hundreds of people and speak, it's, you know, I'm a real person that grew up in the cornfield. And if I can be successful, then anybody listening can too. Yeah. And just no matter, like, what life throws at you, it's your attitude that really is going to determine your direction of where you're going to go. You know, so we all, like, no matter what it is, we could have the absolute worst stories to I stubbed my toe, right? And so it's however we want to look at that, like stubbing your toe, it could ruin your whole day if that's how you want it to be. So just making that determination, some things are just a lot harder to get over than others. And just, I love being a support system and letting others know that, you know, we all can get through whatever life throws at you.
Right, right. Well, that is a perfect intro to who you are and what you were doing and what you have done. Let's back up from to the beginning, if that's okay. Let's go back to when you were a kid living in, did you say the cornfields?
I always say that a suburb outside of Chicago, I always say, like, in the middle of nowhere, there's actually a cornfield in the back of one of my homes here. So yeah.
Yeah, I got you. So so you were suburbs. Sorry, that's my country accent coming out. The suburbs of Chicago, and you're from that area, and you have, now we're going to go back to, I guess, your teenage years. What were you like as a teenager?
Oh my goodness, I was so rebellious. I always wanted to do my own thing. I just made a joke yesterday at my mom's. I was grounded all the time. At 3 years old, I started selling rocks to my neighbors. And I always say that's when I started my business mindset kicked in.
Love it.
And my mom would, I would paint rocks and sell them, which everyone, you know, needs those at their house. So I'd put them all lined up in my little red wagon and I'd go to like three houses and I would beg my mom if I could go to a fourth house and she'd say, Jennifer, you are not allowed to go because I can't see you at their front door. And I'd be like, please. And I'd like, let's make a deal with her. So I was born with this, like, I guess now looking back, this entrepreneurial mindset. Had a lemonade stand at six and my street wasn't busy enough with cars. So I'd ask her, can I please go sit at the busy street down the other street? And she'd say, no, I can't see you. And with that, my parents had gotten divorced when I was seven, which now looking back, I realized had such a dramatic impact on my life. I've been in therapy for the last 5 years, hundreds of hours, tens of thousands of dollars I spent on really finding out who I am at the core. And a lot of my anxiety over the years had stemmed from them getting divorced. And what happened at that point, no one really taught me like about love. So now I realize that a lot of children are not taught like emotional intelligence. They kind of just feel whatever they feel and there's no guidance from parents or adults like, hey, how do you feel right now? And have a positive way to express themselves. So I was always looking for love outside myself with when my father left. And that led me into wanting basically, you know, to be rebellious so that I could get attention. And I felt that that was, you know, love back then. And I just really had no guidance for what I wanted to do through school. Or the only thing I knew was my mom would say, you have to go to college. So I just, you know, when I was a high school senior, I told my mom, I want to be a photographer. And she told me that's not a real job and that I needed to go to college to get one. So that was the only thing I really wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to be far away if I went to college. So I left Chicago and went down to University of South Florida. Huh. And I always make a joke that I graduated with flying colors with a PhD in partying, nothing else. And the first week she dropped me off, I was 17. I got my tongue pierced that first week and danced on a bar at 17. And that is when I felt like, oh my gosh, this like feeling of, you know, sedation, basically taking off that emotional pain that I had all these years of my life. College was like that instant gratification, I guess.
No, you were dancing on the bars like Coyote Ugly and you were having a good time. You were an independent woman.
I was. And I was so excited that my mom dropped me off five states away and I was like, see you later. I'm gonna do me, you do you.
Yeah.
And nobody was gonna control me anymore. So I like loved it and I just loved, you know, like I got into drugs and alcohol and I always say I was like living, I had the most fun I never want to have again. And there were many times that I was in situations over those 4 years that now looking back, like were so dangerous and with the wrong people. And, you know, a lot of my friends back then ended up in jail or dead. And so I'm so grateful that I lived through that because I really lived on the edge, like truly. And after all I did was party for those 4 years. And after that, I got to this point where I had rang up like probably $30,000 in debt, something like that. And I could not keep up anymore. I was working like seven jobs. I always had that working mentality, but I was spending more than I was making. Mm-hmm. And my mom like called me on my fourth year and she didn't know how bad of drugs I was into at that point, but she could just tell how sick I was. And she was like, do you want to come back home to Chicago and live with, you know, live here and save your money and get back on your feet? And I felt like the biggest failure of my entire life at that point. Like my friends were all, most of them were getting their teaching certificates and graduating college. A lot of them were at that point like engaged and they were planning their life. And so I'm like going back home with no college degree, failed out of beauty school, end up at my mom's house and just felt so defeated. And luckily I had gotten off of drugs at that point and still drinking. And my ex-boyfriend from high school like walked back into my life and he was super fun. And so we started like hanging out and we ended up getting married. He joined the military and we got married. And that was a decision that I had to literally make in a split decision, like 3 days for me to go with him to move wherever he was getting stationed.
Wow.
And I had no job, so I just kind of followed him. And again, this is where that like lack of self-love that I didn't have at this point was like leading me into these decisions that I thought were going to bring me happiness and love. But really what it was I was, you know, just looking for that outside myself. And so we were married for about a year and that didn't work. And so then now I'm like living in New Jersey by myself. I'm working at Bed Bath & Beyond for like $9 an hour. And I was just so embarrassed. I didn't want to come back to Chicago and just decided like, hey, I'm going to start working. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of taking this off into all these years, if you want me to keep going or not.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Well, let's stop right there. So
yeah,
you basically fell out of college. You get married. You're moving halfway across the country and with your previous boyfriend from high school, and then your marriage fails or whatnot. Why did that fail?
Oh well, I was 21 when I got married, and so the only way we had a plan for me to move with him wherever he was going to get stationed, and so the military had come picking up all my belongings while he was in boot camp. And so I got a letter from him the last week and it said, will you marry me? And I was like, well, let's wait at least a year after we move. And he said, no, you don't understand. If we don't get married in 3 days when I get back, then you can't come with me. So I had to make this split decision of all my belongings, everything I ever owned besides my car is in a truck going somewhere. So looking back, I would not have made that decision if I knew what I knew now, but I also kind of wanted to get out of my mom's house. It was like a new start. So I just kind of made those decisions back then that led me on this like wild ride of a life.
Yeah.
But that's really out there after we had gotten divorced and I decided to stay out there with no one. I had no friends, no family in New Jersey. I just was so embarrassed. I could not come back to Chicago after we got divorced. That's really where my business sense started kicking in.
Oh, you were in survival mode at that point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's interesting. So a little bit of, I know you filled us in a little bit with your intro, explaining who you are and whatnot, but what takes place next now that you are in New Jersey and you're off on your own, survival mode comes in?
Yeah, I was making $9 an hour, which, you know, even back then, 20 years ago or however many years, 17 years ago, was not really that much money to support myself in a, you know, apartment, not pay all your bills. And so I really, I worked in the bridal registry at Bed Bath & Beyond. And so I always knew, even since I was 3, that if you give great customer service and you try your hardest at any job, that you will always be rewarded, whether it be money, you know, a promotion, more clients, whatever that is. And so that's really the philosophy I like started with Bed Bath & Beyond. And I said, I'm going to help every single couple that comes in to register and I'm going to show them all around the store and like help them with what they want. I'm sure many people listening to this have registered at Bed Bath & Beyond if you've ever been married. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with this new philosophy I had that I just like created, making $9 an hour, the way I did it in the store made the guest registries have like 17 times more options for their guests to come buy from. And so after about 5 months of me doing this, Bed Bath & Beyond realized that the process I had created was selling more products than any other registry in the entire country at this point. So I had corporate coming and asking me, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, and I showed them the process and they're like, wow, we've never had anyone do this before. Do you mind training the whole like Northeast? And I was so excited. They're like, we'll give you a promotion. I think it was like to 13 an hour. I can't remember. And then I was like, yes, I was so excited. Then finally I got a promotion really quickly after that for $40,000 a year. And I thought I made it at that point. Like that was such a big turning point. I just felt finally successful for the first time at that point. And I then got picked up by a high-end automation company that did back then like the, $100,000 to $300,000 systems for the multi-million dollar homes that like were the smart homes before our iPhone could control everything.
Yeah.
And I remember, and this is great for this podcast, for anybody who is an employee or working for another company. And so I was super happy making $40,000 a year at Bed Bath & Beyond. And this company comes over and they're like, you know, we've been studying you and the process and sales approach that you have is like phenomenal. We really want you to come. And I said, you know, aren't there like 99% of men that work at this automation company? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, we want you to be a manager. I go, I don't know anything about speakers or TVs. I was so like overwhelmed thinking of selling something for, you know, $10,000, let alone $100,000.
Right.
And they said, yeah. And I went home to my stepdad who'd been in sales his whole life. And I said, Larry, I'm like, you know, they want me to do this. And he said, if they feel that you can do this job and you believe in yourself, then you should try it. And I asked them, you know, what is your top person making? And they said $80,000. So I just somewhere inside myself thought, this is a great opportunity right now. And the worst case scenario is if I take this and it doesn't work out, I can always go back to Bed Bath & Beyond. I always believe never cut ties in a bad way or like burn any bridges in life.
Yeah.
So I believed in myself, which everybody listening to this, I want you to be able to do this too. And I took the plunge and my goal was to make $41,000. And my first year, I made $80,000, went into their top 1%, and really then understood I knew how to sell. But if I didn't make that leap of faith in myself, I never would have gotten to that next step.
Yes, yes, that's a hell yes. That's what we're looking for here. I mean, that is awesome. I'm excited about the story. So first of all, I love entrepreneurs, and then I love female entrepreneurs like yourself who are actually out there making something of yourself. And now at this point, you are not dependent on any male and you are doing your thing. So what comes next after the story?
Yeah, so I did that. I like ended up creating my own position. I worked in two different metropolitan, New Jersey and Chicago. I knew I wanted to come back. My grandpa was sick and I wanted to come back to Chicago. And so I'm really, again, this is another turning point, hesitant to leave this $80,000 a year, 100% commission job out in New Jersey. And I like begged corporate, I said, could I take this position and go make 100% commission in Chicago with, I was working with all the like Eagles players out on the East Coast. So I had like really big time clients that would just refer me. So I had a great name I had built for myself out there. So I'm like, knew I needed to start over again in Chicago. And they're like, well, you did that here. So we believe in you so much. We don't want you to leave the company, but sure, if that's what you want to do. So I came to Chicago and started like my marketing phase of my life back then. I like got all these lists of people. I went way outside what was the protocol for this company. I started, you know, finding cold calling clients myself so that when I got here to Chicago, I could start, you know, hitting the ground running. And I ended up making $100,000 here in Chicago that next year. I then got picked up by a large flooring company. And that is where I went up to like make $150,000 selling for about 20 hours a week. And in Chicago, it's really cold and snowy a lot of the year. So in December, no one is buying new carpet for their house. So you basically just sit there and stare at like beige carpet all day long.
Oh, man.
So that's when my photography 10 years ago really kicked in and I just decided to buy this camera. And I asked my best friend like, hey, what should I take pictures of? And she said, what about me in some lingerie for her boyfriend at the time? And I was so nervous. My face turned red. Like I always remember this. And I was like, no way. I'm not doing anything like that. And she's like, no, like really pretty and classy. And I said, okay, well, I guess I could try it.
Did you feel that it was a little risque, I guess?
Yeah, super risque. Again, like coming from the cornfield, my grandma had been a librarian here for 30 years. My mom's a first grade school teacher. It's very conservative in the Chicago suburbs.
Right.
So after 6 months of doing that and working at the flooring store, I'll never forget when my photography phone started ringing more than my carpet phone. And that is where this like signal came through in a download that said, here's another one of these opportunities. I just got chills right now thinking of this. Here's another one of these opportunities, Jenny, that, you know, you're being presented. You have two options. You can either try to take this dream somewhere forward. I had no business plan. It was just like it was more than a hobby, but I never had anything past, you know, doing this on the weekends. And and or like, you need to give up this job because I need those 20 hours to like, you know, put this into the photography. And I did. And I quit and I gave them 2 weeks and I didn't have a studio. I had no idea what I was doing. I had two girls doing hair and makeup for me at that time. And I mean, I didn't even hit $100,000 in revenue the first year.
Yeah.
But I quit. I didn't make any profit until like year three, I think, or 2.5 years in. And on year four, it hit over $1 million in revenue.
So let's back up. How did you go from a loss in your first two or three years to over $1 million? Like what spread the word?
The first thing is, you know, my determination was definitely the thing that drove the ship and my sales background. And also just that customer service that I, you know, the first thing I want to do is have fun and be honest with the clients. Don't ever promise something you can't deliver and just try your best every day. And as long as you do that, that's the best you can do. I also took all of the profits and I put them back into the business, which I always teach other entrepreneurs this too. If you guys, if anyone's interested, I do one-on-one business coaching and you guys can reach out for that too. But you know, like for instance, I bought a $1,000 camera to start and knew that those were not producing the images that I wanted. So I knew I needed to buy the $5,000 camera, the pro camera. And so every dollar that I made, I just put back into that better equipment. And finally, it got to the point where I was doing these out of like condos and I needed a permanent place to do it. And so 10 years ago, next month, I signed my first lease with only like, I think it was like 12 people on the book. I signed a 2-year lease and I'm still in that location outside of Chicago. It's now our headquarters. And it was a big challenge. It was kind of like when I stepped off from making that 40,000 and I was like, okay, well, if I make 41,000, I just believed that I needed to try it. That's the other thing for everybody listening. Like you have to try things in order for you to really hit these home runs in life. You know, like you have, even when you get married, like you need to try it before being so scared. Don't let the fear hold you back because normally if you try something and you put that fear aside, it's going to pay off not only in money, but in time and love and great emotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that fear, I think sometimes is what holds us all back from really hitting it out of the park.
Right, right. Well, so this is one of several businesses you own. I'm going to jump all over your story here. Time points, but now we have your humble beginnings and in today's time, you know, of the recording of the podcast, you have multiple 6 and 7 figure startup companies and businesses, and your boudoir photography is thriving and you have multiple outlets across the US. Like what's next?
Oh my goodness. Well, this year was probably the largest, I don't want to call it a fail, but it was the largest wake up call I've ever had. I can't talk much about this, but I have survived domestic violence.
Okay.
And through that this year, I hired a coach who has been absolutely amazing. And he really taught me, instead of a lot of the businesses that I created came out of somewhere really in a lack state or an anger state. So like I wanted to start my photography company partially for everyone telling me I couldn't. And I was very angry about that. And I was like, I'm going to show everybody that I can, kind of like, so that was some of my fuel that started that business.
Yeah.
And I've used that fuel over 10 years. You know, I started a hair and makeup company, a lot of real estate investing, coaching company, my retreat business, which is also in business too. But this year, my coach said, instead of moving forward out of these like emotions, what if you take a step back and really put yourself back together and come from a place of asking yourself questions and letting your body respond? And so this year, I've closed multiple businesses. I sold my house in Nashville. I closed my business there. We still have some business, but it's not no brick and mortar. And I've been looking at things a little differently than I ever have because I'm so grateful to be alive and really just valuing the relationships I have now at this point. And I'm going to make some big decisions. I'm actually going to open up another company later today in the coffee business, which is so different than any of my other businesses.
Yeah.
But really like looking at things of what is making my heart happy, which I know a lot of people say, use your head and not your heart, which I did for so long. And now I'm really making decisions on what's going to work for my heart at the end of the day. And making decisions on like for investments, for instance, like who am I do a ton of investments. You know, what company feels good to me? Who are the people running it? Does it add up? Do I like these people? Would I have dinner with them? Things like that. And I, for anybody, like for investing reasons, like, you know, if you're investing $20 or $100, like you have to take those chances. A lot of people ask me about investing and I teach on it. Take the chances. No one's going to give anything to you. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But yeah, I guess, I don't know if that's enough of kind of, I feel sort of like I went backwards a little bit this year, but I know that another reason it's way to be really successful is to know that if you take two steps backwards, usually it will propel you 3 to 5 steps forward.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in this, like, I just got out of the ashes again and I'm ready to really rise to this next level. I'm going to try to hit like 9 figures in the next couple of years. And I know that the information that got me here is not going to get me there. So I'm hiring the right coaches and taking the knowledge I have and really, you know, timesing it by 10.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what I love about your story is not only did you have one marriage, but you had two marriages and they didn't work out, obviously for different reasons. But, you know, the second one was with the domestic violence. And I know we can't talk about that. But with that said, I think you didn't let life beat you down. You kept on going. You didn't give up. And you overcame your obstacles, your challenges, and you're continuously moving forward. And you're empowering people, not just women, but men along the way. I watch a lot of your Instagram videos. I watch a lot of your Facebook posts. I've seen some of your Vimeo videos and things like that. And it's really empowering. It's encouraging to me, somebody like me, like just to watch your journey and hear what you have done over the years and to see how you have moved forward in life. And this, man, shoot, I'm going to talk to you like a surfer, dude. Man, I applaud you. It's really exciting. And, you are like an incredible role model. Like I said, not just for Aww. Women, but for men as well. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. One thing, my second marriage that didn't work out actually was not the person, that was the domestic violence,
okay.
Man. He was the second person, that I got divorced from. He's actually a really great person. I started therapy after becoming involved with the person that was domestically violent. I didn't know who I was. That's the best way I could put it. When I got divorced from the second man, who was a great person. And I do believe if I knew what I knew now, we possibly could have stayed married forever because I would have understood myself better. So I would say I was the one at fault, even though two people are in a relationship. The thing I would say now is that the domestic violence was the worst thing I've ever been through. And I'm so grateful to be alive. But what it did was it led me into learning on who I was and why I was looking for that love outside myself, where now I don't need a man to feel love. I know I have that inside me. And that's what else I want to like help and teach other people so much is that you don't need to look outside yourself. And that instead of looking back on this, it always will be the worst thing, hopefully, that will ever have happened to me. But I learned so much from it. And I want to take that and spread that awareness to other people, you know, that if it could happen to me, it could happen to anyone, with especially with domestic violence. 1 in 3 women will go through something like this. And so it can happen to your neighbor, you know, your niece, your whoever it is. And a lot of people, like when I started talking to my friends and my family about what was going on, I hadn't heard of anybody going through this. I mean, I'm a successful, you know, certain demographic type of woman that most people would say, well, why didn't you just leave? Or you have your own money, like you don't need to be with him or stay with him. And the psychological manipulation that sometimes people can put you in really makes you kind of feel crazy. And so that was one of the reasons. So if anybody's listening to this that, you know, has been in a domestic violence situation or abusive relationship, man or woman, like know that there are resources out there and you are not alone, because I did feel alone. And I hear that from so many people, that it really, it can happen to any age, demographic, income level, anywhere in the world. This is happening out there. So I really would hope, I'm going to start my book next month, and I really want that to go out to everybody, especially women, that give the right tools and to teach others what this looks like, because I didn't know what it was. Like I grew up at 7 years old hoping I was going to be Cinderella and Prince Charming would come sweep me off my feet. And when that happened, I thought, oh, this is the Cinderella story I'd always been looking for. Now I know that the Cinderella story is actually a narcissist coming in, and I never knew what that was. So, you know, those, that knowledge, it sounds a little negative to talk about this. So there is no positive speaking about this, but what I want to do is really just like, you know, just shed light on it and use what has happened in the most positive way I can for other people.
Exactly. Exactly. And with your book, I think you said it was Rising from the Darkness. Is there a charity behind that as well?
Yeah, I really would like to start. So I bought Rising from the Darkness website because I want to use that in some way. Either it's going to be the podcast, it's going to be my book. I'm talking to all these agents. So if anybody's written a book, you kind of know that you sometimes you can't name your book the title you hope for. So I hope, but I would like to start a domestic violence charity as well. This year, we're going to have our big decade launch. So if you guys want any information, you can text the word boudoir, B-O-U-D-O-I-R, to 484848. And you guys can be invited to our huge decade party. We're going to have like 500 people to come support the boudoir business. And also the proceeds are going to go towards either a charity that I start for domestic violence or another one that's in the area that could help me. So that's a really, really big undertaking to start a charity. So I'm trying to learn the ins and outs to see if that's something I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I did it one time and it was not right up my alley. I learned quickly, but I know you're the person that can handle it and you can do it properly and effectively. So I'm going to be watching out for
this.
Let's see. I wanted to get back to, I know we're bouncing all over, like I said, but therapy. I have never been somebody, I've never sought out therapy. So for those of us that have not ever sought out therapy, that have always had the cloud of the mumbo jumbo going off in our head, what does therapy do for somebody like us?
Oh my God, I just got chills again. It's probably one of the best gifts I've ever been given in my whole life. And so therapy is just such a great place to learn about yourself. And, you know, I walked in 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it's been, to this woman. And now one thing I would say is, I know you haven't tried therapy, but if anyone listening, if you've tried it and you're like, oh, it wasn't for me, you probably didn't find the right person to fit you. So it would be like going on a date with someone that you're just like, oh gosh, that's not the person for me. It's not that you would say, oh, I never want to date someone again. It's just that you didn't find the right fit to feel comfortable sharing things with someone. Does that make sense?
It does.
Because I went to about 4 people before I met this woman. This woman does a certain type of therapy. If you guys want to look it up, it's called internal family systems therapy. And what it does is, when I walked in that day, she said, why are you here? And I said, well, you know, at that point, I blamed the person I was in the relationship with. Well, he did this to me and he made me feel this way. And after very quickly working with her, I learned that he didn't make me feel any way. I felt the way I did because of his actions. So it really helps me reword my subconscious to understand that, you know, no matter what anybody else is doing, that does not need to affect me. And I don't need to have it ruffle my emotions, create a story around it. I don't need to react or behave in any certain way than what I feel is appropriate for myself. It's like self-leadership. So I did blame him at that point. And like I said, we went over that and restructured that. But also, like, he goes, well, how do you feel? And I said, well, I feel anxious, because I always, at that point, I couldn't even be on this podcast with you a couple of years ago. I would have been too nervous. And she's like, you know, well, let's talk about that a little. And I was so anxious to talk about my anxiety that I was like, oh my gosh. But I was at this point where I was like, I need to find answers of like why my life is where it is in my personal life at this point. So we ended up breaking it up and going all the way back to when I was 7. And that's where my like anxiety had started. And we really just talked about emotions. You know, there's 5 main emotions: joy, which we all want, mm-hmm. and the feeling of anger and sadness, and fear, which is a good thing to have. Fear is a good emotion to have because it will keep you out of danger most of the time. But a fear of like, I can't try something new is where therapy is really helpful for.
Yeah.
And then the feeling of bad, which is normally guilt or shame. So not everybody carries, we all carry all these emotions with us from past events. But when it comes to a point in time where something does not feel good anymore, like if the feeling of sadness is kind of overwhelming, or like for instance, you feel sad and you get to the point where like, I'm going to have a glass of wine to take the edge off. That's what a lot of people will say. Yeah. There's more behind that. So it's like, well, what's the edge and where did that come from? And a lot of people are like, I don't know. Like, I just had a long day at work. Well, maybe at work you feel sad because you don't feel good enough in your job, just like for instance. So that sad feeling is what a therapist can really kind of get to. And like, where does it come from? And you find a good therapist, you can figure out that root and you can kind of unearth it and give it a different story so it feels better. So that when that trigger comes up through life again, you won't go think you need to go grab that wine because that trigger has kind of been sedated through therapy. This is exactly what I do at my retreat. My next one's in February. It's only for women. I'm sorry, guys, but we kind of do this. I learned the process to go back to find these parts of ourselves that really hold us back, like from living our best life. And when I'm saying this, like we all have something that we go to sedate ourselves. And so one of mine is talking. I love talking, but this could be drinking, drugs, sex, you know, put your head down in your business and just move forward and plow through and make money. It's, you know, it could be shopping. It could be I'm spending all my time with my kids. All it is, all these things are, is putting a space between what you don't want to recognize about yourself. That's basically what it is. Like who you are at the core.
Yeah. Well, damn.
Right?
That's good. Talking to me.
I mean, what I did was I put my head down for all these years, you know, and just started opening these businesses out of anger, like and sadness and not feeling good enough and not having that self-worth piece. Mm-hmm. And so I just was like, well, I'm going to feel better by just like making money and seeing other people happy. And that can go in any direction with any of us.
Right. Well, that's incredible. So, I mean, that's really good life lessons. I mean, is there a slogan or a, you know, this is not a rapid fire question, but I've heard this on other people's podcasts, but if there was a billboard that you would pay for and you had like one line, a few words on there, what would you put on that billboard for everybody to see?
I would put on everything is possible. And I truly believe that everything is possible. If you believe it and you dream it, you can manifest that. Mm-hmm. It's got chills again. I always get that. I'm super spiritual. So whenever I get chills, I'm like, yes, that's the right path. So right. Anybody that's out there, whatever it is, if you don't have the love of your life, they are out there looking for you. You have to believe it. If you want to leave your company for whatever reason, you can, and you can start your own, or you can, you know, just remember that everything is possible in this life.
Right. All right. Well, let's change gears. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your Sparkle Retreats?
Yeah, I love my Sparkle Retreats. So this will be the 4th year in 2020. Our next one's February 21st to 23rd in Laguna Beach, where I also have a home out there. And it's for women that are really looking for, they've gotten to a point in their life. Most of my clients that come are between the age of like 28 and 48, I would say. Mm-hmm. And they get to this place where they know that they are kind of like missing out on something that they, like, let's say they have this dream that they want to open a business, but they're a mom and they feel like, oh, I can't do this because I'm going to take away from my kids. Or I have anxiety and it's just overwhelming and I don't know where it comes from. Or I had a woman that came that could not get pregnant. And she just wanted to be around other women who were kind of like experiencing their own hardships, even though it wasn't this exact same thing. And she came and she kind of like put it to rest. This is an awesome story a couple years ago. Put it to rest, realized that maybe this just wasn't for her. She went through the adoption process. When she got home, she was super close to adopting a little baby girl and she got pregnant. And now her daughter, I think, is one. And I'm not saying I'm guaranteeing anybody would get pregnant from coming to this retreat, but it's basically just like, you know, these things that all of us women go through that you, for instance, for me, a lot of my friends from high school, I'm still friends with, and they're, you know, we're from the suburbs and we all live in these like subdivisions. And so whoever you're interacting with on these same day basis, you know, your next door neighbor mom, your people at work, that's your circle of influence. And so if you have any type of negativity in those people, it's not that you would be participating in the negativity, but it's nice to get outside of your daily circles, wherever you are in the country, yeah, and come out and meet new women that are ready to like take that next step to know that they do have and are able to live a better life, whatever that looks like.
That's awesome. We're gonna include that into the show notes. I may have to tell my wife to come hop into that with you, send her out.
Yeah, and there's so much fun. Yeah, it's 3 days. And we also, like, I put everything I love into these retreats. We take them to a 5-star dinner with an ocean view. And we do a pizza party one night. So it's super chill and cool. And we wear yoga pants. And I'm bringing in the most amazing, actually, you know, a couple of the ladies, yeah, that I'm bringing in to speak that are just like super well-known around the country. Go-getters, and it's going to be a very uplifting, everyone's going to leave with either a feeling of more joy or more peace.
Yeah.
And some more sparkle, of course, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's got to be there. I mean, you got to sprinkle the sparkle on. That's,
yes, I love it.
I do too. Well, so you're a serial entrepreneur. You almost claimed bankruptcy from at one point when you were 22. Now you're a self-made multimillionaire. I mean, my gosh, what have you not accomplished yet?
Oh, you know, love. And I am so grateful to say that I found the most amazing guy ever that we just started dating a couple months ago. We went to high school, but didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And he has treated me like such a princess and like a queen. And I was telling my mom this a couple of days ago, and I said, I think if I would have found him like 5 years ago before all of these things that had happened in my therapy, I would have probably taken him for granted, expecting someone to treat me the way he does. But I'm so grateful and I'm so in love and so happy. And, you know, I've also, another thing, I've been trying to have children for the last 8 years, and I can't carry a child. They can't even retrieve my eggs, but a couple months ago, I got a download again. And that's been one of another like major heartache for me. I've always wanted to be a mom. And so I've just been, it's so hard. I mean, I could cry thinking about this. I don't talk about it much, but I just kept this like 1% hope in my heart that I would always find a man that was nice to me and that I could be a mother someday. So I'm actually going to try one last time to get my eggs out in the next couple months. And so those are my next two things that I'm like working on. I'm enjoying life for the moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be praying for you that you will have kids and speaking that into existence so that it will manifest for you.
Yes. Everything's possible.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm in total agreement you. With you. Well, a few rapid fire questions. I think, you know, we'll circle through those pretty quick. You can answer them as long as you want or as few words as possible if you want. It doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. Let's start with the first one. Easy going. We'll kind of ease into it. And then I come up with a little more additional ones. And I throw a couple in there that you may not be expecting. But
okay.
What's your favorite movie or documentary and why?
You know, I truly don't watch movies. I read instead. So, I mean, my first like movies, of course, are going to be like the old school, like Pretty Woman and Titanic. I love a good thriller though too. I just can't think of any. And I do love documentaries. I don't have any specific ones that come to mind. You know, I do think documentaries are obviously like slated a little bit one side to the other. So I'm very open-minded to stuff like that. I love learning. So anything, no specific titles I could give you.
Okay. No worries. What's your favorite book and why?
My favorite book is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Have you ever read it?
Oh, no, I have not heard that. No, I've never heard of that one.
Oh my gosh,
actually.
I love it. If you are interested in therapy, go to therapy. It's basically teaching about the voices that we all have in our head and how they can't control us, we control them. So putting a space between our thoughts and our reactions, it's great. It's amazing. I've read it multiple times. And the other book, my other favorite, is Many Lives, Many Masters. Have you heard of that?
I have not heard of that one either.
No. Oh, that's from Brian Weiss. It's a spiritual book about past lives that we have lived, which I had just gotten my third past life regression. You know what that is?
No.
Well, that's like a whole separate podcast. Yeah. But yeah, definitely check out that book if you are in the spiritual realm and you have a big imagination and you believe that everything's possible. That's a really good book.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a movie buff. You may not have known that about me, but I'm going to throw in a Fight Club quote and I want you to tell me if you agree or not.
Okay.
Losing all hope is freedom. Agree or disagree?
No, I feel that that's Yale.
I knew your answer to that. I just want to see how you would respond.
No. Oh my gosh. You always need to carry that 1% hope, always.
Exactly. I agree. So we've already answered the billboard question, which I don't normally ask that because a lot of people do. But if you were going to give a TED talk on something you weren't known about, what would that be? What would that topic be on?
Well, right now I know I'm not known for domestic violence, and so once all this goes through, I actually have a TEDx talk on my vision board with my 20 visions that I have.
Yes.
So I do hope to do this in the next 2 years. And I do want to speak about domestic violence and how it can happen to anybody. But on a side note to that stage, my other goal is to be on the improv stage in Hollywood over next year. So whichever stage I could be on, I'd be really excited about.
so you want to, did I hear that right? You want to do some comedy?
I do. Hey, I remember. So
I remember
Brandon
the story. I remember the story you put up there. I mean, I don't know if you want to share that to the audience. I would have loved to have brought that in here. But
we were in Boston
at this mastermind we were a part of. You came out like a fireball with a certain story that was pretty awesome.
Well, I'll just put it like this. It has to do with poop. And so whenever you get up in front of multimillionaire entrepreneurs and you don't know them, you know, why not just start off like, hey, I'm Jenny Taylor and I'm going to tell you a funny story about poop, right?
Yeah, that shit hit the fan quick. Oh man, I was like, wow, this is great. Yeah.
Actually, I think you were like next one up. Now that you were sitting next to me, I think.
Yeah. I think I was.
And you were like, how am I going to get up and talk now? What am I going to say?
I know. Well, I was really, really quiet then. I mean, I've always been somewhat of a quiet guy, an introvert that's, forced to become an extrovert by design. But with that said, yeah, that was awesome. Well, where can people find you, Jenny, outside of your website? Or you tell us about your website again and let us know where we can find you.
Yeah, find me on jennytaylor.com. And I'd love to hear from you on Instagram. You can slide in my DMs. It's everything Jenny Taylor. You can friend me on Facebook, Jenny Taylor. I have a pink background. And I love, I'm never too busy for anybody. So I love to talk to all of you guys. If you guys have anything that I've said that you have questions about, I'm just literally like, I want to be everybody's friend and give advice. And also like, I want to hear everybody's stories. So please feel free to reach out to me. I'm not, you're able to come in my life and be part of it. That's my, I want to be on a journey with everybody.
Awesome. Any last requests for the audience?
No, but I just want to say thank you, Brandon, to you so much. I met you almost a year ago now. Can you believe that?
Oh, I know.
And you are quiet, but you're like a silent shooting star. Like there's something about you and your wife. You guys are so sweet and down to earth, and just like I could just tell right away that you guys are just such great hearted big people and big hearted great people. And so thank you for like putting this podcast together and just really, rising from the ashes. We all have this type of story. And so if someone you know, is listening to this, that whatever you are going through in life, like Brandon, thank you so much for bringing people on like me that, you know, can be encouraging to others. And hopefully if you are trying to rise to the ashes, reach out to Brandon and Be Honest Podcast, and maybe that'll help you rise through your own, you know, adversities that you're going through.
Oh, wow. Thank you for the nice and kind words. And thank you for putting that out there. Well, Jenny, we'll have a blessed day and do what you do best, which is have everybody just enjoy themselves and the love that you produce.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Okay, I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, bye. Thank you for listening to Rise Above the Ashes, the podcast. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at our website at riseabovetheashes.com.